Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ of Lies and Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best, and Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we humble ourselves before you this day to acknowledge that you are Almighty God, and besides you, there is no other. Dear Lord, we can't make this journey without you. So, Lord, we petition you again as we go into this word, into this message today, that, dear Lord, that you will pour out your anointing upon this message, and every heart that is tuned into this broadcast, may they be touched by the Spirit of the living God. Father, I pray that I will bring glory and honor unto you. And Lord, that you would draw the honest in heart through this message. So Father, I thank you. I praise you and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Let us open up from, once again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading verses 15 to verse 17, as we are discussing concerning the rapture, and I'm giving you scriptures on why the rapture is not going to be so. Now, the Bible does say we will be caught up, and that's what they're in dealing with the rapture, they're saying, but the overall scope of what they're preaching and teaching about the rapture is wrong. That's why the title of this message is No Rapture, Satan's Wrath. This is part 5. And I want to encourage all you that are first-time listeners to go back and listen to parts 1 to part 4 so you can be caught up to speed. I want to say again that for those you listening, hey, when I'm giving you, I'm telling you to go to the Lord Jesus about it, okay? Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are teaching this, any day we can be gone, because that's what the rapture is dealing with from their perspective and what they're saying. Any day we can be gone, we won't have to go through the Great Tribulation, all of that. Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of them that preach and teach and have great knowledge of the Lord's word in other areas. But here in this area, I have to say that they're wrong. And I'm giving you the reasons why. Now, once again, for those of you listening, I do understand perhaps some of you say, hey, I'm confused, because some of you Christians are saying any day we can be gone, and now you is standing here and claim to be a Christian, and you're saying it's not true. Well, once again, I say this unto you, all that I'm giving you, when you get ready to go to bed tonight, fall on your knees and ask the Lord, is any of this is true? Point blank. I mean, I'm not out to try to put people in the middle. I have to give them what God given me, but I also have to point them to Christ. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17 said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, we've been opened up with this because this is by far, and those that teach the rapture, any day we can be gone, you know, and all that, this is one of their famous scriptures they like to go to. Okay, they do use other scriptures, but this is, to me, what I've seen, the most famous, well-popular one. And they're based this any day we're going to be gone now. One of the places is right here from what we're reading at. Now, we went into this verses here because one of the things we're looking at that helps on really getting an understanding of what God used Apostle Paul to talk about is we notice that the words alive and remain is repeated twice within the three scriptures, which tells me that that is a point that God is using Apostle Paul to get over to us, that it is to those who are alive and remain. Now, we earlier through this series started looking at what he meant by alive. We come to understand that not only did it refer to those who are physically alive, but those who are alive in Christ, born again and saved. Amen. But we started, and this is where we are now, looking more on the remain part, okay? The remain part. That's another key thing. And when we looked at the word remain, we come to understand, we looked at it in, number one, the original Greek word, there is a perilipo, which means to leave all around, that is to survive, okay? And we asked Webster, what does survive mean? And one of the definitions Webster gave us of the word survive is to continue to exist or live out. So when he said we that are alive and remain, or we that are alive and continue to exist or live after, the question is, live after what? Okay? Live after what? If we're going to be caught up unto the Lord Jesus, but it's going to be after we live after something. And the question is, after what? And so I've been sharing with you guys what the Lord has been giving me the answer to the after what. And one of the things is the after what that he's talking about is after the wrath of Satan is displayed. Now, as I shared with you guys before, those who teach the pre-tribulation chapter, rapture, says that we can be gone any day now and we won't have to go through the great tribulation. And they said, because God has not appointed us to wrath. So they're saying that the great tribulation is God's wrath. Well, that's where I beg to differ, because the scripture don't show that. The great tribulation is the wrath of Satan being displayed. And this is where we at now. We're talking about the wrath of Satan that is being displayed, going to be displayed, in these last days against who? That's what we're talking about now, against the believers, okay? So we last left off in part four, I think, with Revelation chapter 17. Let's go back there, and I think we left off at verse 2. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 17. Amen. Now, some of you may say, and for those of you who have been listening, you may have said, well, Brother Nate, I noticed that, okay, you're talking about there's no rapture, but you're going into talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Well, why is that? Because you need to know, if we're talking about, since we're talking about the Great Tribulation is Satan's wrath against the church, then you need to know about him doing it and who he's going to be doing it through, okay? And also you need to know that this particular church has been deceiving people for years into trying to make them think that they are Christ's church, when they are the ones who are being used and will be used to persecute the true saints. So let's go to Revelation chapter 17. This time we're going to go to verse 3 and continue on in this. Amen. And like I said, don't be surprised if you're doing some flip-flopping here and there because this is why it is called a study, okay? When you're doing what some may refer to as Bible study, or if you go into early Sunday morning thing to what they call Sunday school, whether it's Bible study, which most churches have on Wednesdays, most, not all, some of them have Thursdays, some have Tuesdays, but if it's Bible study, it is still a time of teaching. It is a time of expounding. It's a time, it's a breakdown period. If it's Sunday school, it is the same thing, okay? And when you're really doing some studying, you're going to be turning pages. Your fingers will be getting exercised, okay? It's going to be getting exercised, okay? Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. John the Revelator says, "So he carried away me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Now, one of the things we want to see in this third verse is where he talks about this woman was sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, where does that sound familiar? I know from Revelation chapter 12, was the third verse where we looked at, and we looked at how that the dragon that has seven heads and 10 horns represents Satan and also a nation of service to Satan, which we talked about is Rome. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Now, here it mentions that she said, this woman, and we already talked about who this woman is. This woman represents the church, not the church of Christ, but the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, the church of the devil, the Roman Catholic Church, straight up. And so this woman sits on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. So, amen. So we see that, once again, she's all in connected to Satan, because that's the dragon has seven heads and 10 horns with seven crowns upon his head. Now, we look at this right here. Notice that she was sitting on the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, notice it did not mention the crowns, okay? If you look back, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, when it talks about the great dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon his head. Well, here it just mentioned she sat upon the beast that had what? Seven heads and 10 horns, but it didn't mention the crowns. So what this means, and we notice that the crowns are missing here, this signifies the time that the crown rule was removed from Rome. Because remember, at one time, Rome had what you call Roman emperors, kings, and that sort. Now, this signifies a time that this was removed, which we in the time now, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. They are now ruled by another power. And that power is mentioned in verse 1, the great whore. Amen. The apostate church, hallelujah, the union of church and state, hallelujah. The Roman Catholic Church is ruling. The Roman Catholic Church rules. They're ruling Rome, okay? Amen. Got their own police. This is the whole nine yards, people. Okay. Now, we notice also in that verse, John said, he carried me away into the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, okay? Into the wilderness, okay? This is the time, he's talking about this time reflects when the church fled into the wilderness, which is the end time, which is the last days, what we're in now. For example, let's go back to Revelation chapter 12, okay? Go to verse 14. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. See, this is not dealing with something that happened, that was to happen before Christ established the church. This is something that happened after he established the church, which is the end time, which we are in now, okay? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, said, and to the woman. Now, this woman right here is referring to who? The church of Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Now, it said, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. You hear that? So the church, after Christ established it, and the time where we're in to this day, she fled into the wilderness. She fled off the scene. This is why the Lord has been sending his angel to restore all things, okay, which includes the church. You get what I'm saying? Because she fled from before men in fear. And when you look at today, look at many in the Christian community, afraid to open their mouth, afraid to speak up, in fear. The world openly disrespecting our Lord and Savior. You can see without, especially the other day with them Grammys they did, man, they just disrespect. People like Madonna and all them just doing disrespect. Beyonce disrespect our Lord. And what happened? The Christians got their hand over their mouth or got their head in the sand. Afraid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, going back to Revelation 17:3, what he was being shown was this church ruling and coming into power during the time, hallelujah, in the end time, after Christ had established the church. Hallelujah. The church fled into the wilderness. And we look at today, the believers who's supposed to be the believers are like in the wilderness, you hid. You get that? Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Amen. And see, I know that this is something that some believers don't want to talk about. You know, they do the little cop-out thing. Well, we just need to let the Lord give us what to say. Well, it's kind of funny God just let you just sit there and not say nothing. It seemed like forever because some of you don't want to open your mouth. Period. You don't want to open your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. So John said, okay, he said, I was carried into the spirit in the wilderness, okay? So this woman here, which is the Roman Catholic Church, that evil church, was in the place. See, he was carried to in the place where the church fled, to a barren, unproductive. See, that's what a literal wilderness, a barren, unproductive place, okay? And when you look at here, this world, this earth, hallelujah, barren, unproductive, in sin, no, hallelujah, glory. Gross darkness, according to Isaiah, you know, darkness covered the earth. We living in some dark times, people. Amen. And some of my brothers and sisters and them know it, and they know from what the Word of God says that things is going to get more intense. So now, preaching the rapture harder than ever before. Okay? Amen. Because there are some of them who are really studying the Word of God, and they know what the Word of God says. Other things that's going to happen, got to happen, is going to happen. Okay? You ain't got to worry about the Lord saying something going to happen, and he have to come back and say, oh, I made a mistake. You ain't got to worry about that. Amen. Now, the other thing we want to notice in this verse here, hallelujah, that John said, I saw the woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, okay? The woman, this evil church, hallelujah, sitting on the scarlet-colored beast, having names full of blasphemy, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you, in dealing with this here, hallelujah, and this comes from, and I think this is kind of like a pretty old book that, and I think this is one, this person's name is Reverend G.S. Faber. I think it's from the book called Desertion on the Prophecies, Volume 1. And I want to read to you why this woman is connected with sitting on this beast that had names for the blasphemy. Okay? And these were the names of their popes in this Roman Catholic Church that they PayPal hierarchy accepted, okay? Now, I want you to hear this. Number one, our Lord God the Pope. Number two, another God upon earth. Number three, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number four, His Majesty Divine. The next thing, number five, the power of the Pope is greater than all created power, extending itself to things celestial, terrestrial, and infernal, and that the Pope doth whatsoever he listed, even things unlawful, and is more than God. Next thing, the victorious God and man is his seat at Rome. Number eight, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. Number nine, the most holy who carrieth the most holy. Number 10, the holy and good God of the Christians. And number 11, all the kings of the earth shall worship him, and all nations shall serve him. Talking about the Pope. Now, tell me that ain't names of blasphemy that they carry. That is blaspheming our God, disrespecting our God. King of kings and Lord of lords, who that belong to? It belong to Jesus, okay? Amen. You even got in this music culture today, pop music and R&B and all this, where they're going and depicting themselves like they're Jesus and taking the name. It's blasphemy. Blasphemy. Once again, this is why the true believers are being fought at, against, and will be fought against, because it's going to be the true believers that's going to open up their mouth and say, hey, that's blasphemy against God. Now, you're going to have other people who call themselves believers who want to stay silent. As my brothers and them used to say, silent are the lambs. Just stay silent. Because, see, I see where the Christian community has been going. You know, we talk about love, which we're supposed to love one another. But the Lord said, cry loud and spare not. We don't want to talk about that. Oh, don't do that. You may run them off. Don't do that. They're disrespecting Jesus. And you mean that we shouldn't warn them? The Lord told us what? What was that in Ezekiel? Man going the wrong. I'm going to paraphrase, but a man going the wrong way, you don't warn him, guess what? His blood is on your hands. See, it's the true believers. It's the true believers who are going to be fought against by this evil church. Not straddlers, not people who's pretending to be believers. Not them, okay? Hallelujah. Not them, but true believers. They're the ones that's going to be fought against. Now, on a website that's titled, Why Do Catholics Call the Pope? And I'm going to read this title for you right quick. Why do Catholics call the Pope the Holy, capital H, the Holy Father, if the Bible says only one person of the Trinity may be called holy? Okay. And this is a website. I think this website is there. They got Catholic answers. But anyhow, that's the question. Because we're talking about these names full of blasphemy. These church, their popes, is taking on the name that only belongs to Christ. They're taking on this name, and you're blaspheming God. And so on this site, what I want to read to you is one thing they said. They said, since we are his holy people, people are the church. And this son, and if I'm not mistaken, this is a Catholic website here. He said, it is fitting that the head of his holy people be called Holy Father. Now, who is he talking about the head? He's talking about the Pope. They're talking about the Pope. They said, since we are his holy people and his people are the church, it is fitting that the head of his holy people be called Holy Father, not because of his own merit, but because Christ died for him and for the church that he leads on earth. Now, here's the correction to what they're saying wrong. Number one, they said, since we are his holy people and his people are the church, it is fitting that the head of his holy people. Wait a minute. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that Christ is the head. Amen? The Pope is not the head. See, you see, people, do you see how the Pope is claiming supremacy? He is claimed to be the head of, let's put it this way, all of Christianity. Well, here's the question. Who put him in the head? I can answer that for you. Nobody, okay? Nobody put him in the head. Amen. He called himself putting himself in the head. And you want to call, and you go to call him Holy Father? No. Blasphemous. Hallelujah. This church, this evil church operate on blasphemy. Now get this, there are some honest and hard people in that church that Christ is going to draw out of that church. I'm just telling you right now. See, many of the people in that church is deceived. Okay? And there, but there's an honest and heart in there that the Lord is going to draw out of there. Hallelujah. This woman, this evil church thrives on blasphemy. It popes. Hallelujah. Listen, you ever seen, remember, and I don't know if they've done it with Pope Francis. I've seen some other ways that they do some things with him. But remember Pope John Paul II? And when most of the people came to him, what they did, not only did they bow down to him, some of them bow down even kissing his finger. People, what is that? What is that? It's a sign of worship, ain't it? Jesus didn't tell you worship no man like that. Bend down to him, bow down to him, and kiss his finger. Come on. And this stuff would be done live on TV, people. Live on TV. Now, if you so-called Christ Church, how come you ain't telling people, hey, wait a minute, get up off the floor. Don't do that to me. No. But see, they didn't do it. They invited that. This evil church wants to be worshipped. Its leaders wants to be worshipped. Okay? That's not the Church of Christ, people. And once again, this is why the true believers are going to be persecuted, had been, has been, and will be persecuted by this evil church, this woman who Satan will be working through to display his wrath against the true believers. Point blank. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 is going to be our key verse. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this here. Now, look at just what Jesus says. He said, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Now,
Here's the thing. You know, God mentions your earthly fathers in other scriptures. So why would he say, call no man your father? Amen. He said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So that almost sounds like a contradiction, don't it? Because when you look throughout the scriptures, Jesus referred to biological dads your fathers. So why would he say this? Okay. Now here's the thing. Jesus was dealing with the Jews and Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. See, they was used to elevating themselves above others by being called these names like teachers, master, and father. Do you see where I'm going here? See, the Roman Catholic Church, what do? Go into that little booth with the priest and you call him father. For what? And see, the people got people think, okay, it's okay as long as you confess your sins to this person in the booth called father. But what about the Heavenly Father? The true Father. See, Jesus was saying that to these Pharisees and Jews because they were trying to elevate themselves above others. That's what the Roman Catholic Church doing, taking on these titles, taking on these names of blasphemy, okay? Out to elevate themselves, okay? Amen. Now, I'm going to say this to this, and I know some may get offended, and I'm not trying to down anybody, but this is like, for example, Reverend. Now, the Bible tells us that in the ministry, they were called apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. But I have not seen nowhere in the scripture where they're called reverends. And you got, especially some men today, they get highly offended if you don't call them reverend. I remember on the job I'm on now, and this was about 20 years ago, I was working in another department, and this subject about reverend was coming up, and I told him, I said, I'm not a reverend. What do you mean? What? I said, well, you show me the scriptures where those who were called to the ministry were called reverends. And I told the person, I even let you go ask your pastor, give me scripture proof. And there is no scripture proof on that, people. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to down my brothers and them that call themselves reverend. I'm just being honest with you. And some of them take to that thing seriously. If you don't say reverend so-and-so, oh, they get offended. You're getting offended by the title that doesn't have scripture backup. Now, with the Roman Catholic Church, they want you to call them Father and call the Pope Holy Father and all that. That, I'm sorry, that title only belongs to Jesus, not them. And then going into a booth and calling a man up in there Father, you know, and this man is acting like the Heavenly Father instead, and so you confess all your quote sins to him and everything's done good. You don't have to go to the true God. You get what I'm saying? See, by them taking on that's what Jesus was talking about here, calling on men on earth. Because see, Jesus knew that men was going to try to take on that title for evil and for to be lifted up. Jesus knew. And once again, this is where the true believers are going to be fought against, okay? Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. They said on and I think this is on a website called Why Are Priests Called Father? Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, mercyhome.org. And they said, aside from the name itself, priests are referred to as fathers for multiple reasons.
as a sign of respect and because they act as spiritual leaders in our lives. Okay? But the word didn't tell us just to call them fathers. Okay? We was not directing the word for those who are in leadership over us that we was directed to call them fathers. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul, for example, called Timothy his son in the faith. Okay? But overall, we were not told to, in Scripture, to address them as fathers. And they said it's a sign of respect. Okay? Now, I understand, you know, some things is needed to address a person with respect, but we're not told that, you know, hey, call your spiritual leaders, your pastors and things of that nature, father. And we was not told in such a way where that by they being called father, that we can confess our sins to them and everything's good. See, this is, once again, this is where the true believers are going to be fought against. Because the true believers going to speak up and say, hey, and tell the Roman Catholic Church, hey, those titles that your popes and them got, Holy Father and all this and that, you blaspheming the Lord God, and they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it, people. Some of God's people have already went through from some years. People, listen. Sometimes we just miss it. Sometimes we just miss it. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Let's go there. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah. And remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, okay? And remember the rich man had his riches and Lazarus is poor and you know, at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed. He just won't even just the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, but rich man didn't care nothing for him, didn't, you know. And so eventually Lazarus died and the rich man died. The Bible said, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And verse 24 in Luke chapter 16 said that he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, some would use this verse here to say, but see there, that's why, you know, it's all right for us to call the priest father. No. No, we got to understand, this man calling Abraham father from a physical descendant point, okay? Not as Abraham being a spiritual father in the Lord. You understand that? Not that right. See, you know, many times when you come across people that want to get, make certain points, push their agenda, they even try to use scripture to do it. Okay? They even try to use scripture to do it. Amen. What I'm overall showing you plain in a nutshell is that the Roman Catholic Church takes on these names and they're blaspheming our God. Like I said, I read to you some of the names that their popes have taken on through the years, King of Kings, Lords of Lords. That's blasphemous. Okay? Amen. You hear what I'm saying? That's blasphemous. Hallelujah. And see, this thing, and sometimes this thing is said out
in the open, but it goes over a lot of people's heads. Okay. Now, you know, just like with Pope John Paul, and when people would come to him, they would bend down and kneel, really kneel down to him while he sit down and kiss his finger. Well, you had some people that looked at that and said, man, I ain't bend down kissing that man's finger. But I believe with many in the Christian community, that act went over their heads. And not all of them, because some of them in the Christian community picked up on that and said, hey, that's the wrong kind of act being done there. But then you had others that, you know, may have looked at it and you know, there was no comment, no thought on it. Okay? So some of this stuff was done in the open right in front of people's face, especially those in the Christian community. And once again, nothing was said. But see, like I said, this is why Satan, through that evil church, is going to persecute the true believers. Amen. And see, I want you guys that are listening, especially you Christians who believe that any day we're going to be gone, I want you to get the full perspective of what you're going to be up against, what you're facing. Because the attacks that's going to come, which has already been happening, our brothers and sisters in other countries, they're going through big time, people. Here in America, man, we haven't even fathomed the thought of what they're going through right now. I mean, like I said, we still, right now, we can go out in the street and say, I love Jesus, loud we can. Like I said, people might drive by and look at you and think you crazy, but you ain't got to worry about a cop slamming on his brakes and jumping out the vehicle, him and another cop, and wailing you side your head, throwing you in the car and put you in jail, okay, for now. So we haven't even fathomed the thought of the persecution and that's going on in these other countries against our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. We haven't fathomed that thought yet, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon us. See, here's the thing about our Lord Jesus. And this is where I think another thing we miss about him is that he prepares us or warns us about impending danger or something we're about to face. Now, many times we have ignored it. Let's be honest, we have ignored it. When he had presented to us, for that moment we were listening, but we quickly just got, you know, left out our mind or whatever. And see, the Lord, especially through John the Revelator here, is warning his church about the end time, what we in now, what we're going to be facing. So my thing is like this. To some that's telling people that from Revelation 4 to Revelation 20, that God wasn't talking to the church, my question to you is, who was he talking to? Because ain't nobody else but sinners. And you know they not understanding. So who was he talking to? You know, who is he giving this warning to? Who is he informing about this end time concerning this evil church and what they're about? Now, who was he telling? To the sinner? No, he was not. Not telling the sinner that, people. Come on. You know, they wouldn't be able to understand it. He's talking to people that got his spirit that can understand it. Okay? That's who he's talking to. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. That's what we're talking to, people. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God for Jesus. Now, let's look at verse 4, Revelation chapter 17. Let's look at verse 4, okay? Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, it says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, I want to read to you what, and I think this is also, once again, Reverend G.S. Faber wrote the book called Desertion on the Prophecies, and what he was saying about this thing, why this woman was dressed in purple and scarlet color. And he talks about, in fact, this Bishop Newton mentions this, and I think that either Reverend G.S. Faber wrote the book and is mentioning Bishop Newton, but anyhow, Bishop Newton says that this was the color of the popes and cardinals, as well as the emperors and senators of Rome. The mules and horses, which carried the popes and cardinals, were covered with scarlet cloth, so that they may properly be said to ride upon the scarlet colored beast. Okay, so we see a natural, literal side of signs given who it was talking about, as well as we talk about a spiritual side. So this was the color of the popes and cardinals. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This was their colors, okay? Amen. So this woman, which is the Roman Catholic Church, with her popes, her cardinals, this was their color, okay? Amen. See, you know, it's amazing how God give you clues or who or what he's talking about, okay? Amen. He give you these clues. He let you know, who is he talking about? And these are the colors that her popes, this Roman Catholic Church, this woman, this is the color that her popes wore, okay? The popes, the cardinals, and said once upon a time they was, you know, riding on the horses, you know, and mules, that's what they had for them, okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, on the website titled How Revelation 17 Pictures the Roman Catholic Church, it talks about how that the and I want to mention this here. You know, in verse 4, it talks about how that the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Well, see, also shows something else too, okay? By her being decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, you know, when the Roman Catholic Church do their services, you know, a lot of that gold and stuff be showing, you know, it my God, they do some showing off, okay? Glory. Hallelujah. See, this evil church loves impressive cathedrals, okay? especially display of the glitter of gold and all that. They love that, okay? They love the showing off the expensive stuff, okay? They love showing it off. See, we got to understand that the Roman Catholic Church is the richest church in this world, okay? Yeah, she is the richest church on the face of this earth. And see, it's amazing, and this is a thing that's be amazing to me. You know, how they at one time, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, were telling you that being poor was a sign of humility and being humble and all that stuff. And I said, well, that's kind of funny because what all y'all displaying is expensive stuff. Okay? And y'all talking about some being humble, and you got the glittering gold stuff and all that stuff going in the church, and you talking about that? Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, people. Go to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop it here today. And listen, you got, and it's sad to say this spirit has run through other churches because, you know, it's like these churches, and there's nothing wrong with getting some nice things. But now these churches is trying to show off their buildings. They're getting very expensive stuff. I mean, going into deep debt on getting stuff just to show off. Now they trying to see who can build the biggest building and all that. See, all that is going to tie in with the spirit of this evil church. Because this evil church, the Roman Catholic Church, they love showing off stuff. The most expensive stuff. They just love showing off. Okay? They love the glamour and being praised. You get that? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, for this day you've made, we thank you for blessing us on this broadcast. And Father, I ask that you would touch the heart of the people right now and let your truth be revealed unto them. Father, I thank you. Lord, I praise you and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank the Lord this day for his word. I thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza message on a broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.